This is not a good contrast, but if the salt has become tasteless, it obviously speaks of losing its seasoning effect, losing its flavor. And in context, obviously, the salt becomes tasteless. It's talking about our behavior in the midst of a sinful world.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, in your message today, you talk about being the salt of the earth. And, you know, that's an idiom that we often use to refer to someone who's worthy or maybe that they're good. And is that what Jesus is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount?
You know, Dave, in a sense, yes, but there's a major difference between what Jesus is talking about and what the world refers to when it says that someone is the salt of the earth. Now, we'll see that today more clearly in our message. Our text is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. So if you have a Bible handy, we'd invite you to turn there with us.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And the first paycheck you get for sin is separation from God. The last paycheck you get is the second death, eternal separation from God forever in punishment. But the wonderful thing is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Notice that he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And so Jesus makes this simple statement with a simple analogy, you are the salt of the earth. But what does it mean? Well, as I've shared, look at verse 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? The analogy is flavor. You are the flavor of the earth. Just eat your eggs without salt and then put some salt on it. It flavors it, doesn't it? The reality is we are the salt of the earth. And notice what he says. And actually, turn to Colossians chapter 4. We have this same idea of salt being a seasoning in terms of our behavior, in terms of our actions. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. That's non-believers, by the way. Making the most of the opportunity, or redeeming the time, literally. Let your speech always be with what? Grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. You want to know how to respond to non-believers? With grace. That's how you'll know, right? Let your speech be seasoned with salt. And we believers so often are so repulsed at the sin that we see that God has delivered us from, that maybe we don't do anymore. And we're repulsed at that, but then we treat people very badly. We need to recognize there's the sin and then there's the sinner. The sin is wrong and evil and bad and condemns. But the sinner needs a Savior, Jesus Christ, right? So then, I believe that this passage, back in our passage, is speaking of that which seasons, which brings flavor to a corrupt, sin-sick world. You are that which flavors this sin-sick, dark world. Now, let us not forget here what preceded verse 13. Remember, Jesus has just finished those Beatitudes, those statements concerning those who are truly blessed. And remember, those statements speak of his righteousness, his character being manifest in us. That's what he's just spoken of. And then he talks about that same character being manifest in the light of persecution. Look at Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for what? For the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What about 5:11? Blessed are you when men cast insults and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. The reality is, it's on account of Jesus living his life through us that we are able to do what is right. And when his righteousness is manifest in our deeds, we will be persecuted. And so as we see in contrast, The flavor, the seasoning that seasons this corrupt world is the righteousness of Christ manifest in us, which will bring persecution, but it also might cause them to glorify God who is in heaven when they see your good deeds. Indeed, we see that. Look at verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's the righteousness of Christ manifest in our behavior that seasons a sin-sick, lost, dark, tasteless, in terms of righteousness, world. By faith, we are to allow Christ to live his life through us, and we will bear fruit. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians. Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. His righteousness and his truth and his goodness is going to be manifest in us. We are the salt of the earth. It doesn't mean that we are out condemning everybody. We share the gospel. The gospel condemns, but also gives the opportunity for salvation. Let God be the one who condemns. The Lord is the one who judges the world. We share the good news that there is a way out from sin, that there is a way out from the judgment that is coming. There's a way out from God's wrath, which is coming. And that's through Jesus Christ. So then, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt, as we see, in the world. You're the only practical taste of righteousness, true righteousness, that the world will ever see. There are righteous deeds out there, a little R righteous in a sense, but you're the only taste of his righteousness they will ever see. Now, we have all sorts of spheres in which we are in the midst of the world. You have non-believing relatives. You are the salt in those relationships, right? We have those we meet on occasion as we just go out into the world. We have our work relationships. We have all those different things, school, whatever it might be. You are the salt of the world. You are. And in parallel, we appear as lights in the world, as we're seeing in Philippians chapter 2. You are present tense. This is who you are. It's not that you have to be that. There's those songs on Caleb, make me salt, make me light. No. Stop me from sinning so that I am who I am. Help me confess sin so that I will be who I really am. Right? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And folks, as the salt of the earth, Christ also uses us as a platform to bring about the gospel, the good news of salvation. And he does that in the context of doing what is right, opening doors for the gospel. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. He's going to talk about behavior. And this is why we need to be really careful in this time of political upheaval. And it's political evil, by the way, you know. We need to be very careful because there's a lot of evil out there and we want to go do something about it. Yes, we do need to do something about it. We need to pray. We need to pray first and foremost, but we need to be godly in our responses. You can speak the truth and still be righteous and godly and good. Jesus was a perfect example of that, and that's what will happen when we abide in him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior, lackadaisical, not so great. Excellent. Excellent. Is your behavior excellent at work? Is your behavior excellent around your non-saved family? Maybe it's the real young kids? Is your behavior excellent around your unsaved spouse? Is your behavior excellent at work and school? Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. That's a slang term for non-believers. So that in the very thing which they slander you is evil. They're going to slander you. Remember Jesus said just before, I'm going to cast insults at you because of me. It's going to happen. So that in the very thing they do, they may account of your what? Good deeds as they observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. And that could be speaking of the day that he visits them in salvation. You know, when people are mocking people for their behavior, which will happen if you're a Christian, when they come to faith, they immediately realize that mocking was wrong. And they glorify God for what that behavior did, how God used that. They glorify God in the day he visits them. What about chapter 3 of 1 Peter? Chapter 3. Look at 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He says, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But instead of fearing and getting upset, do this. But sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. Set him apart as the Lord. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who what? Asks? Yes. It's not running around throwing the gospel over every corner. Everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. You see, our behavior is very important. Although they will mock us for it, God uses that to shame them, that they may be saved, that they may trust in Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Where do we grumble the most? Well, certainly we grumble in our families. We grumble at school or different places, grumble at work. We do all things without grumbling. Don't grumble. He says here, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Don't complain and grumble so that you will demonstrate yourself to be who you really are in the midst of a dark world. Don't sin so that you are who you really are. Confess sin when you do. And what about a little further in Matthew? Go back to Matthew chapter 5, 13. I don't want to read 13 through as we keep going here. Same principle. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. We'll look at that in a minute. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives its light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. The plain reality is this is who you are if you're a true believer. Now, there's a warning here because the salt can be, as Jesus will say, become tasteless in the world. Notice what he says. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless. This statement gives the real possibility. It speaks of an action that's completed. This is not a good contrast. But if the salt has become tasteless, it obviously speaks of losing its seasoning effect, losing its flavor. And in context, obviously, the salt becomes tasteless. It's talking about our behavior in the midst of a sinful world. Now, if you read the commentaries and all that stuff, you'll probably hear the unbelieving chemists say, well, the Bible's wrong. Salt cannot become tasteless because sodium chloride is always sodium chloride. You know? Well, the reality is he's talking about the salt they used in those days. He's talking about a normal analogy, and it used to be mixed with other things in that day. And then it would gypsum and it would become alkaline and then it would lose its flavor. The bottom line is it can become tasteless. So it's an analogy. Now, is he speaking about losing salvation? Some people say that. If the salt becomes tasteless, it's trampled underfoot, maybe you lost your salvation. Well, first of all, if you're truly saved, you cannot lose your salvation. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Now, you can have a faux salvation that appears to be lost when you turn away from the Lord. That's not losing your salvation. You never had it. This is talking about the reality that you can become tasteless as a believer in the midst of those you're around. It's a very serious thing. Who is the salt of the earth? It's believers. It's the blessed, right? So the reality is a believer could become tasteless in the midst of the world. What does it mean to become tasteless? What does that mean? Well, the world is tasteless, right? The world does not and cannot act righteously. The world cannot do good apart from the living God. As Paul would say to the Romans in Romans 3, there are none righteous, not even one. There is none who does good. Jesus would say in Mark 10:18, no one is good but God alone. It's only those who have a relationship with him that can do good deeds from his viewpoint. So how does a true believer become tasteless? Obviously, they become tasteless when they become like a tasteless world. When the righteousness of Christ is no longer manifest in the midst of a tasteless world. Now, the earth and the world are parallel. We have that earth in verse 13, world in verse 14. And what's the world? I shared it earlier, but the term world comes from the Greek word cosmos. We get our word cosmetics. It speaks of order, arrangement, adornment, or decoration. And to understand the world, you need to understand the ruler of this world. It's Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world. We have John 12:31. Now judgment is upon the world, and the ruler of this world shall be cast out. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. That's Satan. So then God has sovereignly allowed Satan to be the God of this world for a small time, for a temporary time. But yet don't forget, 1 John 4, 4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And we know that God will soon crush Satan at our feet, Romans 16. So then the term the world speaks consistently with those who do not know Christ, as I mentioned before. The earth and the world here, in the way it's saying, consists of the unregenerate, the unredeemed. And the world and the unsaved do not have the Spirit of God. Jesus talked about that. He said, I'm going to send another helper that he may be with you forever. That's the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. John 14. And so worldliness is how the world operates. And now we think of worldliness as all the big sins, but worldliness is man's self-sufficiency, a lack of dependence on Christ. It is man functioning by his own desires and wisdom, which will manifest in behavior. We see that in James 3 and 4. So how can believers lose their flavor? By becoming conformed to this world in your thinking and then your behavior. By thinking and acting like the world rather than being transformed by God through his word. When you start to act like the world, you're operating on the world's wisdom rather than the word of God. When you depend on your own strength, when you simply live by your own desires rather than God's will revealed in the word, you will not manifest the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, in respect to righteousness, you will become tasteless. And I'll explain the behaviors that follow that. And actually, let's look back at the Beatitudes, because if we look at this again, we see what his righteousness looks like, and then by contrast, we'll see what worldliness looks like. Go back to verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So how do we become tasteless? True believers are tasteless when they are spiritually bankrupt before the Lord, when they're self-sufficient. True believers become tasteless when they are hardened, no longer mourning over their sinfulness. True believers become tasteless when they, in the midst of a hostile world, cease to be gentle based on submission to God. True believers become tasteless when they cease to hunger and thirst for righteousness. True believers become tasteless when they cease to relate the great mercy they have received in Christ who brought them salvation. True believers become tasteless when they are no longer pure, allowing their hearts to be stained with sin and impure. True believers become tasteless when they cease to seek peace and pursue it. And true believers cease to be persecuted because they have become tasteless. There's a very real possibility because of sin that the righteousness of Christ will not be manifest in your life and you will become tasteless. We're commanded to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, Romans 12, by the renewing of our minds. That we would prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. But when you are not renewed, you prove something different. You demonstrate something different. And there are so many exhortations for us to not walk in the manner in which we used to walk. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. Don't walk like non-believers anymore. And he explains it. Also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every evil kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, which was tasteless, by the way, manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Turn up to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Because we've been raised up with Christ, we're to seek the things above, set our mind on things above, not of earth. Because we've died and our life is hidden with Christ and we're going to be revealed with him. Then notice what he says in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked, and you were living in them. And now he's going to say the actual practical manifestations of those things. You say, oh, morally, all this stuff. Oh, I don't do that. Well, he's going to say the manifestations of it. But now, verse 8, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self and its evil practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The reality is, we see this tastelessness is simply a manifestation of the way we were before we came to Jesus Christ. He says, you are the salt of the earth.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you talked about the responsibility of a believer losing their saltiness or becoming tasteless and being thrown out and trampled underfoot. So how are we to interpret this warning? Is the Christian life a once and done experience? You know, what about grace and forgiveness and restoration?
You know, Dave, let me first say that we're going to cover this question more in depth in our next broadcast, so it's really important to listen to that message. But for now, let me address your question. Is the Christian life a once-and-done proposition when it comes to living a righteous life? Well, the answer is no. We have a myriad of examples in Scripture of those who did fail, and some failed pretty horribly, and yet God restored them. You see, we have a gracious God who forgives us. King David is one of the most memorable examples of such a life, and if you're familiar with the true story, what sets him apart is his response to his sin when confronted. Indeed, David displayed humility, brokenness, and a contrite heart with a deep and sincere sorrow for his actions. Now, there definitely were consequences for his sin, but there was a restoration also in forgiveness. Now, if you've become salty or tasteless, there may be some consequences in the midst of your life with those relationships. But the only way to become salty again in light of that is through depending on the living God in the context of genuine repentance and forgiveness. So if you have become tasteless in some of the relationships in your life, first of all, confess your sin. come before the Lord, ask for forgiveness. Go to those people and confess to them also, and then walk in the forgiveness that you have in Christ, and allow Him then to enable you to be effective for His kingdom. Even if you've blown it big time, just follow the example that we see set by David in Psalm 51, and you can be restored.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.